Turn with me once again to Malachi chapter 3, and in verse 6, we read, "For I am the Lord, I change not. I am the Lord, I change not." Malachi, the last of the Old Testament prophets, he served the Lord about 100 years after Nehemiah's time. The people were reestablished in Jerusalem. The temple services were observed, but the hearts of the people were far from the Lord. They even questioned the divine love for them. In chapter 1, in verse 2, the Lord said, "I have loved you, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved me, loved us?" They questioned the divine love for them. The temple sacrifices and offerings, they no longer delighted in them. They were weary of them. They kept back from God the very best. They brought to those sacrificial altars the animals that were sick, that were lame, that were dying. They refused to give their very best. And we discover too that they withheld their tithes and offerings. They robbed God. In that day of declension and departure, this message came to them, "I am the Lord, I change not." What a cheering word in a world where everything is fluctuating and unpredictable. The financial world, what upheavals there have been over this past decade or so. Financial institutions which people counted on, depended on, taking care of their savings, their pension funds, they have been shaken to their foundations. Every aspect of life on earth is subject to change. Days, months, seasons change, the leaf dies, the grass withers, the flower fades. These bodies of ours are subject to change, no matter how we pamper them. Those people that you haven't met for 30 years, you say, "Oh, how they have changed. Do you know, I hardly recognize them." And that's exactly what they were saying about yourself. Youth and beauty pass away, change and decay, and all around we see. Even the angels were subject to change. The Bible speaks of the angels that kept not their first estate. The heavens, as they are now, they will change. In Psalm 102, we read of them changing in verses 25 and 6. "They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture thou changest them, and they shall be changed." But then in verse 27, the scriptures say, "But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end." God, who dwells in the heavens, is unchanging. What a tremendous truth this is. God remains the same through endless years, the same. We can say that he is unchangeable in his person. In our text, you will note, The word Lord is in small capitals, meaning Jehovah. I am Jehovah. I change not. James in chapter 1 and verse 17, he is mindful of the unchanging God. James 1 and verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In that phrase, no variableness, it can be read, there can be no variableness. Variableness with God is impossible. A changeable God is a contradiction in terms. God can never change in his being. As we were singing, and as Hebrews 13 and verse 8 explains, yesterday, forever, the Lord Jesus is the same. God does not mature. He does not grow stronger or weaker or wiser as the years go by. As Arthur Pink states, he cannot change for the better, for he is already perfect. And being perfect, the Lord cannot change for the worse. James refers to the unchanging God as the Father of lights. If we think of the sun, that greater light, there are times when you and I do not see it, but it is still shining. What changes is the earth spinning on its axis. It's night with us, but on the other side of the world, it is day. The sun is always shining. That fact never changes. And the same is true of God. He is always God. Changeableness spells weakness, and there is no weakness in the Almighty. The Lord will never say, as David had to say in 2 Samuel chapter 3 and the verse 39, I am this day weak, though anointed king. And these men, the sons of Zeruiah, be too hard for me. He faced those who were too hard for him in his weakness. The Lord will never have that to say. Fountain of being, source of good, immutable thou dost remain, nor can the shadow of change obscure the glories of thy reign. Earth may with all her powers dissolve, if such the great Creator will, but thou forever, Lord, art the same. I am is thy memorial still. He is unchangeable in his person. He is unchangeable in his purpose. The psalmist mentions the Lord's purpose in Psalm 33 in verse 11. The counsel of the Lord, he says, standeth forever. The counsel or the purpose of the Lord stands forever. Samuel, he reproved Saul for his failure to deal with the Amalekites in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 29. He mentions the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent. For he is not a man that he should repent. Balaam said the very same thing in Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Repentance, as it is used here, it means revising one's judgment, changing one's plan of action. And God never does that. He never needs to, for he has a complete knowledge and control of all things, past, present, and future. You and I change our minds. We change our plans and purposes because of a lack of foresight or ability. We find that what we are proposing to do is too ambitious, it's beyond our means, and we have to draw back and scale down. We see the situation from a different angle, and we say, I'll do it another way. We do an about turn. That's never the case with the Lord. Knowing the end from the beginning, in Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 10, the Lord can say, my counsel, my purpose shall stand. He's unchanging in his person and in his purpose. Furthermore, he is unchangeable in his promises. Sometimes we say things that we do not really mean. We make insincere promises. Our promises become null and void because of human frailty. We forget to do as we have said, or we just cannot carry out what we intended. It's beyond our capability. Not so with the Lord. There in Isaiah 40 and the verse 8, we read, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. It stands forever the same. In the lovely 119th Psalm and in the verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It's a settled word. It's a fixed word. In verse 151 of Psalm 119, thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. The word translated truth has within it the idea of stability. Stability. The word of the Lord, it will endure forever. In Daniel 6 and verse 8, we read about the law of the Medes and the Persians. What's the significant thing that's stated about the law of the Medes and the Persians? It says, which altereth not. Their laws altered not. But today the law of the Medes and the Persians is no more. It's gone. It's obsolete. The Lord has told us the scriptures cannot be broken. His promises are yea and amen. He has given us immutable, unchanging promises. And we see the inference that is drawn in our text from the unchangeableness of God. In view of the waywardness and backsliding of the people, the thought might have been just the opposite, as is stated in our text. I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. This people, in their waywardness, they will not be consumed. God had chosen Israel to be a people for himself, to be a witness for him. Indeed, he entered into a covenant with Abraham in Genesis 17 and verse 7. The Lord said to Abram, I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Oh, that covenant will never be broken. And the blessing of God upon his people cannot be reversed. Balaam acknowledged that fact in Numbers chapter 23 and the verse 20. I have received a commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. All the Lord's people in the covenant of redemption, that new covenant sealed with the Savior's blood, they will never be consumed. Never be consumed. Noah and his family, God shut them into the ark. They were all safe and secure when divine judgment was poured out in the form of the flood. The promise of salvation is eternal life, and all in Christ will never perish. Oh, we may receive correction, but will not be consumed. If God was mutable, changeable, we could be saved today and lost tomorrow. His promises, he promises his people, will never be consumed. We think of those tremendous words in Romans chapter 8. Who is he that condemneth? Verse 34. It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And then the question in verse 35 is raised, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? None, none can separate the twice-born soul from the Redeemer. And then the Lord is unchangeable in his punishment of the ungodly. God is holy, infinitely holy, unchangeably so. Therefore, he hates sin. We discover in Psalm 89 and verse 14 that the throne of heaven is established in justice. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Who can stand before the holy Lord God? The psalmist asks in Psalm 130, and verse 3, if thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Psalm 1 and verse 5 explains that the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. when our sins were made to meet on Christ, judged in him, how great was his anguish and his grief. In Gethsemane, he became sore amazed and very heavy. Think of his cries and supplications, viewing the cross. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. At the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Our sins laid in Christ's account, the Father's wrath broke on him when he made his soul an offering for our sins. If you will have none of Christ, how will you escape the wrath to come? God has made a way of escape. But if you will not humble yourself and come as you are, as a sinner to the Savior, there will be no escape for you. We have this unchanging truth in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. He that believeth not shall be damned. And that warning, I must lift it up before you. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, unready, unconverted, unprepared. Oh, flee from the wrath to come. Flee to the outstretched arms of the Savior. He receives sinners. He will receive you with all your sin. He will welcome, pardon, and relieve you of the burden and the guilt of your sin through his precious blood. Oh, may you make haste to the unchanging Savior. And finally, we think of the practical lessons that we can learn from the unchangeableness of God. And what comfort flows out of this text. So many things, as we said earlier, in our lives are uncertain. We're told in Proverbs 27 and verse 1 that we cannot boast ourselves of tomorrow, for we know not what a day may bring forth. The bonds that we have in our families, among our friends, they are so precious, but they are not permanent. Our possessions, we take a firm grasp of them, but they are not guaranteed, as Habakkuk discovered. The land did not yield its harvest, its fruit as expected. Health, riches, friends may all leave us, but the Lord remains. He's still the same. Paul gave an account of all that he encountered in his service for the Lord. He spoke of the trials and the tribulations he passed through in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And in the 10th verse, 2 Corinthians 6, in verse 4, to get the setting, he says, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. And then he says in verse 10, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. How did Paul triumph through all of these tribulations and circumstances and burdens of life, he had his heart and his eye fixed on his unchanging Lord. The Lord has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He faileth not, for he is God. He faileth not, he has pledged his word. He faileth not, he'll see you through. This is the God with whom you have to do. The unchangeableness of our Lord, it will copper fasten our faith. It will strengthen and increase it. It was this assurance that God's promises are like himself, unalterable, that copper fastened Abraham's faith. In Romans 4 and verse 20, we see that he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Oh, put your trust unreservedly in the covenant-keeping God, the one who cannot fail, who will always do as he has said. And the unchangeableness of the Lord will conform us to the divine image. We were singing Psalm 125, and in verse 1, they that trust in the Lord shall be like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved. At times, we are as changeable as the wind. We are blown up and down in our spiritual experience. Paul was grieved over the believers in the churches in Galatia. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, he had to write to them these reproving words. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. They were embracing a foreign gospel. And he says, I marvel. I cannot take it in that you are so soon removed. Paul prayed that the believers in Ephesus, in Ephesians 4 and verse 14, that they would be henceforth no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. They were not established. They were not stable, but tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine. The believers in Thessalonica were looking onward to our Lord's return in power and great glory. But Paul had to counsel them in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 2, that ye be not soon shaken in mind. He feared that they would be beside themselves. The Lord is our perfect pattern for life. In John chapter 13, the Lord can say this, and the verse 15, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. The Lord is our example in his unchangeableness. You've heard it said of someone, he, she is always the same. Oh, may we live consistently through good report and ill report. May we run the straight race looking unto the Lord Jesus. May we be those who are steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. May the Lord bless his word to the encouragement and the strengthening of all our lives.